We have been working our way through the book of Proverbs, and today we resume in chapter 13, verse 14. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 14. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. Good understanding gains favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. Every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool lays open his folly. Let's look first of all at verse 14. It follows closely on the previous verse, verse 13. He who despises the word will be destroyed, but he who fears the commandment will be rewarded. And now the 14th verse continues the thought of the second half of verse 13. The 13th verse, the second half says, he who fears the commandment will be rewarded. And then by way of enlargement and explanation, we have verse 14. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. By the word law is meant here teaching, instruction. It is the word Torah. It's what the Lord Yeshua said to the people that initially believed on him. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It is the teaching of the wise. The law of the wise is a fountain of life. And by the wise is meant not only the one who learns wisdom, but the one who imparts it. He learns it, but does not keep it to himself. He also seeks to impart it. In the book of Ecclesiastes, we hear no less than Solomon saying the same thing. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. You see the connection there. A wise person will pass on what he has learned. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright, words of truth. And he continues to mention the words of the wise in the following verses. When Shaul wrote to Timothy, in the second letter of Timothy, chapter 2 and verse 2, the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. There is the rule, learn in order to teach and to convey, to pass on. Coming back to verse 14 in Proverbs 13, the law of the wise is a fountain of life. That is, it is a spring of life. It is a fountain that is ever flowing. It's not a lake or a pond, but a fountain, to demonstrate that the teaching of God's law is like that. It's what the Lord Yeshua said in John chapter 7. He that believeth in me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. It's what he meant when he spoke to the woman at the well. Whosoever drinketh of this water, pointing to the water of the well, shall thirst again. But whosoever shall drink of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that shall be in him shall be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. A fountain. Chapter 10 of Proverbs, verse 11, puts it like this. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life. A well, again, providing fresh water, running water, contrasted with a stagnant source of water, as a stagnant body of water. And it has its effect also. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. That is, it is the reverse of what we read in Isaiah 53. In Isaiah 53, we read about our condition by nature. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. But the word of the Lord, the law of the wise, turns us away from those snares of death. Snares in the plural, to demonstrate the complicated nature of sin. We have turned everyone to his own way. That means the ways of sin are a multitude. But here is the antidote, the law of the wise, the law of God, the scripture of God. In chapter 4 of Proverbs and verse 26, Solomon, speaking to the young man, bids him, ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. The snares of death are many, but the word of God will keep the wise person from being taken. The Lord shall be your confidence and shall keep your foot from being taken. That is God's promise. The snares of death, and death spoken of here is primarily spiritual death that leads to physical death. In Romans 6 we read, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Messiah Yeshua. David, in the 17th Psalm, says what our proverb says. Psalm 17, verse 4 and 5. Concerning the works of men, by the word of your lips I have kept myself from the paths of the destroyer. Uphold my steps in your paths, that my footsteps may not slip. It is by the word of God that we will walk safely and we will walk surely. That is the promise in verse 14. Verse 15 is connected with it because it speaks about good understanding. Good understanding gains favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. Good understanding means understanding that is in line with the word of God. Any understanding that is in conflict with God's word is not good. It is harmful for us. And by understanding we mean judgment, discernment, estimation. Again, in the 111th Psalm, we read in verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. That means we put into practice that which we learn. And when the proverb tells us good understanding gains favor, it means literally that it's like a tree that bears fruit. It's yielding fruit to the for the person. Good understanding gains favor. That means grace, esteem, acceptance. Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 4 was in speaking to his people in the last month of his life, and this is what he had to say about God's commandments. Deuteronomy chapter 4, beginning verse 5. Deuteronomy 4, beginning at verse 5. Surely I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. Therefore, be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us, for whatever reason we may call upon him? And what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law which I set before you this day? It is our wisdom. The law, an understanding of the law, is, as the psalm puts it, a good understanding are they who keep his commandments. Good understanding gains favor. Remember the case of Daniel. In the prophet Daniel chapter 6, there's the incident, the account of how Daniel was chosen above all others because of his understanding. And it was because he diligently studied the scriptures. We know this because later on in his book he says, I understood by books. I understood by the word of the Lord which he spoke through Jeremiah. In those two statements, he's saying that he was a diligent student of the word of God. Daniel chapter 6, verse 1, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them, so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. He was another Joseph, just like Joseph. Pharaoh set him over the whole land of Egypt, so now Darius the Persian sought to set Daniel over the whole realm of the Medes and of the Persians. And it was because an excellent spirit was in him. That excellent spirit was imparted to him as he meditated, as he prayed over, as he studied the words of God, especially the law of God, the commandments, the statutes, and so on. The book of Hebrews tells us that the ground which drinks the rain that comes often upon it and brings forth herbs, meat for those by whom it is dressed, receives blessing from God. That's Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 7. For the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated receives blessing from God. It's a picture of the one who receives the word of God, compared here to the fructifying rain, the rain that makes everything fruitful and brings forth fruit suitable for those by whom it is cultivated. It receives blessing from God. So it is the soul that receives God's word like the earth receives the rain and brings forth fruit unto eternal life, or begins to show in his life the effects of the word of God in the graces and in the gifts of the Spirit. He is the one that receives favor from God. Good understanding gains favor. by contrast. But the way of the unfaithful is hard. The way of the unfaithful is the habitual conduct of the transgressor. Our brother Richard read to us from Hebrews, where we are told not to harden our hearts as Israel did in the wilderness. That's the picture here. The way of the unfaithful is difficult. It's harmful to the transgressor. It's harmful to others. There's in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, a strange statement or appearing, apparently, at least on the surface, seems to be a strange statement. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 1. Then I returned and considered all the oppression that is done under the sun. And look, the tears of the oppressed, but they have no comforter. On the side of their oppressors there was power, but they have no comforter. He said he looked at the situations of oppression that were done in this world and in his day, and he noticed two things. The tears of those who were oppressed, who had no comforter, and then also the power of the oppressors, but the oppressors didn't have a comforter either. And what the statement is saying here is the oppressor suffers, in a sense, more than the ones he is causing to suffer. God brings retribution upon them, and God says, what you sow, you reap. You deprive them of comfort, you too shall be deprived of comfort. And some of the most miserable people on the face of this earth in the history of mankind have been those who have climbed to the top over other men's heads. The ones that have deliberately suppressed others and ruined others in order that they might succeed. They themselves have not known the comfort that they thought their supremacy would bring them. That's what the book of Ecclesiastes means. On their side, they had no comforter either. You see, the retribution of God is so that life is difficult to them. In the prophet Hosea chapter 2 and verse 6, God says to his transgressing people, therefore, behold, I will hedge up your way with thorns and wall her in so that she cannot find her paths. His people is compared to an unfaithful wife who had left her husband. God says, I will hedge up your way with thorns and wall her in so that she cannot find her paths. The way of the transgressor is hard. And so much so, God says, verse 7, she will chase her lovers but not overtake them. Yes, she will seek them but not find them. Then she will say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then it was better for me than now. And in that prophecy in Hosea, we see the infinite compassion of God. When God gives his children a hard time, it is not in order to ruin them, but to rescue them from ruin. Just as here, Israel, unfaithful Israel, went other lovers, God said, very well, I'll hedge up your way with thorns. Have you seen the thorns in the land of Israel? I've got a crown of thorns made out of those thorns in my study at home. They're long and they're very sharp. And they're painful to touch. God says, I will hedge up your way. With what purpose? To bring you back to myself. She will say, I will return to my first husband. And the mercy of God that he's willing, ready to take them back. In chapter 3 of Hosea, he says to Hosea the prophet, now you go and do the same to your wife who has left you, to depict my compassion and my faithfulness to my wandering and unfaithful people. The way of the transgressor is hard, but God means by it to bring the transgressor to an end of himself and to turn them to God. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 19. God speaks to his people there. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 19. Your own wickedness will correct you, and your backslidings will reprove you. Know therefore and see that it is an evil and bitter thing that you have forsaken the Lord your God, and the fear of me is not in you, says the Lord God of hosts. He allows them to reap what they sow, and that they might learn. If they won't learn the good way, they learn the hard way. So we see what is meant in verse 15. Good understanding gains favor. Joseph, Daniel were promoted, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. We saw an example from the nation of Israel. Verse 16 is also connected with our theme here. Every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool lays open his folly. First of all, the positive. Every prudent man acts with knowledge. A prudent man is one who is discreet, who is careful, who is faithful. When God spoke about the coming Messiah, he says of him in Isaiah 52 and verse 13, behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Speaking about the coming Messiah, that he would deal prudently, or literally, he shall succeed. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. How was he? How did he show his prudence? When we look at Ephesians chapter 1, we see what is meant here by divine prudence. He says, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Messiah, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Yeshua HaMashiach to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. In him, that is, in the beloved one, Messiah, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Prudence here is connected to the cross of the Messiah. In the cross of Messiah, the wisdom and the prudence of God is most clearly seen and shines most brightly. And when God says in Isaiah 52, verse 13, my servant shall deal prudently, he goes on to say this, verse 14, just as many were astonished at you. This is how he dealt prudently, by being mutilated, by being disfigured beyond recognition. So his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. And that word sprinkle is the correct word. It refers to the priest sprinkling the sinner with the blood of the sin offering, sprinkling the unclean with the ashes of the red heifer mixed with water, so shall he sprinkle many nations. That is, by his atoning blood, he will bring redemption to the world. Kings shall shut their mouths at him, for what had not been told them they shall see, and what they had not heard they shall consider. So when we read in the book of Proverbs here, every prudent man acts with knowledge, we see in Messiah, in his sacrifice on that tree and on Golgotha, the highest expression of divine prudence, wisdom, knowledge. And we are invited here by implication to follow his steps. Messiah also suffered for us, the just for the unjust. He left us an example that we should follow in his steps. That means if you and I want to be useful to God in the salvation of sinners, there is a price to pay. And that price is suffering in some form or another. It involves pain. He that goes forth and weeps, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bearing his sheaves with him. We come back to Proverbs 13, verse 16. Every prudent man acts with knowledge. That is, he not only seeks knowledge, but he imparts it. He uses the knowledge he has obtained. The Lord Yeshua had his severest strictures for the lawyers of his day, those that were skilled in the law of God. He said, "Woe unto you, lawyers, you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter yourselves, and those that were entered in, you hindered." I remember how that disturbed me to the very core of my being when, as a new believer, I read it and I thought, how I have been misled all these years. Now I'd better make good the defect. I found the true words of knowledge were to be found in the book that we hold in our hands, the Holy Word of God. There was a rabbi, excuse the personal note, but there was a rabbi that was sent to reclaim me from my so-called false choices I had made when I accepted the Lord Yeshua. You know what he did? He attacked my trust in the scriptures. Now, not all of them do that, but that man certainly did. Every prudent man acts with knowledge. Knowledge here is truth, spiritual truth, natural truth. In chapter 8 of Proverbs, verse 12, wisdom speaks. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. Knowledge, truth. It is spiritual truth. It is also the truth that the facts that we have, that we acknowledge in this world. But by contrast, but a fool lays open his folly. He spreads it abroad. He is headstrong. He is imprudent. He is all that the prudent man is not. He lays open his folly, his error, his falsehood. Here is how Solomon put it in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. I remember an Israeli friend of mine saying to me in Hebrew, Marbe devarim, marbe chet. That means he who multiplies words multiplies sin. Here it is, Ecclesiastes 10, verse 14 and 15. A fool also multiplies words. No man knows what is to be. Who can tell him what will be after him? The labor of fools wearies them, for they do not even know how to go to the city. That is a foolish person. He doesn't even have gumption. He doesn't even know how to conduct himself in this world. A fool lays open his folly. By folly is meant error, mischief, falsehood in lip, falsehood in life. When Shaul wrote to Timothy, he said, avoid the oppositions of false knowledge, falsely so-called. A fool lays open his folly. Well, in these Proverbs we have seen what it is to have true knowledge, to be truly prudent, to be wise, to have good understanding. May God bless his word to us as we close our study for today.